Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Might we be permitted to deconstruct a statement President Obama made to the Japanese people on their NHK news network this week?
Do you think apology would be included?
No. Because I think that it's important to recognize that in the midst of war, leaders make all kinds of decisions.
It is this difficult decision in the heat of war rationale that the president is using to say that his historic visit to Hiroshima, the site of the first atomic bomb blast, will not come with an apology for the tens of thousands of civilians killed. That decision of President Harry Truman was like no decision made before or since by a leader. The argument at the time was that a nuclear attack would bring the Pacific War to a quick close, thereby saving lives. That covers Hiroshima, but Nagasaki, attacked just after the Japanese emperor had signaled he was ready to end the war, Nagasaki is perhaps the harder case to make, and President Obama is not going there. Former Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court Chief Justice Margaret Marshall grew up in South Africa and later became an anti-apartheid activist, participating in the Mandela Revolution and Reconciliation. Marshall says in cases like this, leaders have to be ready, as well as the people, to take a difficult step.
I think it's a complicated question. It might depend who the leader is. It might depend on his or her value systems. So I think it depends on the circumstances. We have never really learned too much about how to deal. Human beings haven't learned a great deal about how to deal with our history, and we seem to have to learn it again and again. And again,
what examples of expressing or making a judgment about history by leaders have impressed you?
Because I'm a lawyer by training and a judge, I suppose one that I thought was timely and appropriate was the decision by a much later United States president to apologize for the rounding up and incarceration of United States citizens of Japanese descent and United States residents of Japanese descent during the Second World War. Of course, that government action had been sanctioned by the United States Supreme Court, and the safety valve in our democratic system is for any citizen who is aggrieved by our government or believes that he or she is aggrieved is to go to court and ask for relief. That did not happen, and I think that decision made a great impact on me.
I think you've identified just this fabulously complicated dilemma here. I mean, you've got, on the one hand, the calculation of, is this right or wrong, which can be made in the abstract, I suppose, and can be done anytime.
Exactly.
But there's this other really important moment that you have to calculate, and that is, are the people going to go with you in this judgment? Are they going to agree? Are they going to examine this in the way that you're examining it?
Oh, certainly. And I think it becomes more complicated when the harm done may not be to one's own society, for example. So that in the case of the internment of Japanese citizens and residents of the United States, it was the fact that they were living in the United States, and so the United States could accept responsibility for its own actions to its own people. Of course, the most important part of that are the people who've actually done the perpetration, and that's why I think the Truth and Reconciliation Commission was, in many respects, an important moment in South Africa's history. But it can happen that it's many decades later, and we've seen that, for example, in the attempts even today to understand what happened in Germany in Second World War with the Holocaust. But then there's a broader level. How does the society deal with that, atone for that? What happens three or four or five generations later? Those are very, very complex issues.
Do you think the fact that the Japanese aren't asking for any apology or an acknowledgement of a mistake is relevant to whether President Barack Obama were to look at the dropping of the atomic bomb as a mistake, do you think?
Oh, of course, yes. Of course, yes.
So the fact that the Japanese don't ask for an apology gets Americans off the hook for the civilian casualties of that event?
Oh, no, I'm not suggesting that. War has casualties, terrible consequences. Every single war does. Whether or not the dropping of the bombs in Hiroshima and Nagasaki hastened the end of the war has been, continues to be, as you know, a heavily debated subject. And I don't know what the view of the current Japanese government is, what the view of those whose families were most directly affected is. But of course it makes a difference. It is when people ask to have recognized the harm that was perpetrated that the issue comes more immediately to bear. So of course it makes a difference.
The White House almost immediately said in a statement when it announced that the president would visit Hiroshima that the president would not be apologizing and that there would be no revisiting of the decision to drop the bomb. Does that suggest to you that there is a process of revisiting that essentially the White House is saying it's too early to do that now? Or is the White House saying we're not going there, we believe it was correct?
It's probably a mixture of at least those two things and maybe others. Again, when you are the president of a nation speaking on behalf of a nation that was fighting a declared war, and there are always consequences of war, I think we have learnt so much more about the powerful effects of using that awful weapon to achieve political ends. On the other hand, I think one would hope that everybody in their own small way would work assiduously to try to prevent the kind of violence that seems to have engulfed our world once again. I think of the Holocaust slogan of never again, never again will we have ethnic cleansing or the rounding up and killing of people simply because of who or what they are, and yet we are seeing that all over the world today. How do we put an end to that, I think, is one of the great questions of our century.
Margaret Marshall is a former Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court Chief Justice. Chief Justice Marshall, thank you so much.
Thank you, John. It's been a pleasure.